call that hymn, because in Christian maturity, what we've been on, that very hymn, almost every line, which certainly depicts there is a furtherance or multiplication, more and more and more. If we ever get to the place where we are satisfied in our Christian life, then really, you are not standing still. We often say that, but we're going backward. But whenever there is that development, that constant growth, that is maturity, because there are a few other things involved as well. I want you to turn, please, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll read from verse 1 of chapter 1, 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you into remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. May God bless the reading of his wonderful word. The other evening we looked at Romans chapter 12. We didn't get into 13, but there we have the practical side, the behavior depicted for the believer as to his relationship with God, with the world, especially with believers, and that regarding government or the governments of the world. And as someone has said, it's very difficult, yes, but not impossible. With God's help, these things can be perfected for the glory of God. Christian maturity is very important. No one could say, try to measure the other person's maturity, his standing and how he is doing or they're doing, sort of measuring ourselves with them. This is dangerous because it's a lifetime process for every believer to be involved. It's a challenge to our own hearts. We just have to be concerned about our own life and our own standing. And of course, as leaders, look out for the growth of others as well. Someone has said that if our relationship is right with God, it will be right with one another. Well, that's true. That doesn't take a great theologian to interpret that or to agree with something of that sort. There are a lot of misunderstandings about maturity, believe it or not. Let me just say what spiritual maturity is not, and then we'll just refer to a few things to encourage our hearts. It certainly has nothing to do with our position in Christ. Wonderful, we've got beautiful verses like 2 Peter 1:3 we were reading. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So that our position in Christ is something that is sure, and you need never doubt it. We're His, but maturity has nothing to do with our position in the Lord. We have many other verses, of course, regarding our position in Him. It has nothing to do with God's favor to us, you know. You needn't think that there is a special favor for us that produces any maturity in our life. In fact, when we were unsaved, the Word tells us in Romans 5, we were without strength. We weren't anything. And God showed mercy on us and love, and He saved us. It has nothing to do with the time factor. Sometimes people may get the idea, well, I've been saved nearly 50 years. That's not indicative of spiritual maturity. You'd be surprised how many Christians that have been saved a long time and just like little babies in the family of God. They've never grown much. That's not the maturity that the Scriptures speak about. It has nothing to do with even our knowledge. Now, this may really shock some of us. Even the knowledge of the Word of God, such memory of all the Scriptures. You know, there's nothing better than to memorize the Word of God. Please don't misunderstand me. I think it's healthy, it's good. One of the things that plagued me, I can remember a joke far easier than I can remember Scripture. And this bothers me. That's why I never try to remember jokes anymore. But they flash to my mind. I'm talking about a humorous joke, a good joke, clean joke, a healthy joke. I'm humorous. I don't misunderstand me. But I have a tendency of remembering those things much easier than the Word of God. So I have to review. I have to go over it again and again and again. Scripture memorization is very important. But listen. Spiritual maturity is not necessarily having a knowledge of just the Word of God in a parrot fashion. We should have that knowledge, believe me, but it's not indicative of spiritual growth. It's nothing to do with activity. And we should be busy for the Lord. We should be active. We should be doing for Him. And in fact, you can be so involved in the work of God and yet not be mature. That's not indicative of spiritual maturity. In fact, sometimes I think you can get too busy and miss the real point. Nothing to do with prosperity. Man, look how the Lord has blessed me in my business, you know. I must have a gift or I must have something. That's not maturity either. And we can go on and on and on. But how can we really develop spiritual maturity? Peter, in his wonderful epistle of his, in fact, both of his epistles, but in the last epistle especially, if it's ever a man that grew into spiritual maturity, it was Peter. Maturity can be seen in what he brings out in this passage. Godliness or godlikeness. Gerald referred to it in the last verse of the hymn that we just finished singing. To be like Christ. More like Christ. Spiritual maturity is seen in this godlikeness. And Peter, of all men, you know a lot about Peter in the early days, how impetuous he was, and always saying the wrong things, and always doing the wrong thing. There was a time that he cut off that man's ear, and yet the Apostle Paul rebuked him sharply in the church of Galatia for being a compromiser, and Peter gave Paul the last word. You ever notice that? Seemingly, there was no retaliation. Spiritual maturity was seen in the life of Peter without a doubt. Peter was a great man. You read the second epistle, and he, in fact, the language doesn't even sound like Peter. The words. Why? Because he has grown tremendously. He's matured. He's a great apostle. He's a great man of God, filled with the Spirit of God, a real love for the Savior. Something happened, changed, as it brought out in 2 Corinthians 3:18, in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
man who grew in these things. Thus he could exhort, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's exactly what Peter did. He learned Christ. He slept Christ. He thought of Christ. Everything was Christ. I like what a dear man who was dying, and the children wanted some documents signed before he passed on. He was a spiritual man. He was a great man of God. And they brought the document in. They said, "Dad, would you kindly sign this?" And he said, "Why, sure." And he was very weak and feeble, trembling with the pen in his hand, and he began to write. And so they put the blotting paper over that pen, that ink, and then they didn't look at the document. The dear father passed on. When they looked at the document, when they had inspected it, discovered he signed Jesus. He didn't sign his own name, Jesus. I like that. You see, even in the last moments of his life, his heart, his mind was occupied with the Lord. I do not know honestly whatever happened to that document or that particular business of theirs. Just occupied with the Lord. Peter was that man. And so he brings out three things in the passage I read. He brings out a lot, but spiritual mathematics. Verse 2, years ago when I stumbled over this, I underlined it. Boy, I thought I was really, as a student, I was getting something. But I read a book later on, this dear brother, in his exposition of 1 Peter, had the same multiplication and addition. He had the spiritual math right down to a T. In fact, he did a far better job than I did. Look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Spiritual maturity is not stopping or going back. It's developing. It's growing on. It's a multiplication through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Here's our beautiful provision. According as His divine power has given unto us, what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now comes the addition. And beside this, giving all diligence, add. And before we get into the addition there, verse 9 says, but he that lacketh these things, here's a subtraction, is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Short-sightedness. And forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. This is a sad condition of a believer. When you forget that you've been purged from your sin, this is indicative, my friend. This is truly reveals the truth of our hearts, the condition of our hearts. Short-sightedness is just the opposite to maturity. Can't see very far down the road. In fact, we cannot even see far enough with our brethren. We just lose this, and we become blind to a lot of things in life. Spiritual maturity is seen in my love for my brethren, as we saw the other evening, but more so love for the Word of God. Spiritual maturity is seen that if a person disagrees with you, to be big enough to accept the disagreement without letting it affect our relationship or our opinions or our feelings, our attitude toward that individual. That's spiritual maturity. You say something and someone says, "I don't agree with you." How do we react? What type of response is it? A little red light goes up, doesn't it? It's like, who do you think you are? If we're not vocal about it in our hearts, you know, who does he think he is? But we must learn that unity in the Church of Jesus Christ is not necessarily, doesn't necessarily mean that there will not be disagreement. But when I will not let the disagreement affect the progress of the assembly or church, that's spiritual maturity. But always remember, we should be open for disagreement. It's a good thing there are people who do disagree with me. You see, because I'm not always right. So when I become so self-opinionated and I feel that my way is right, that is a sign of weakness and that is a sign of immaturity. I'm not speaking about the doctrines of the Word of God and the basic truth of the Word of God. We should be dogmatic about those things and hold tenaciously to it. It's not a question of disagreement then. But there are some things that may not be too clear in the Word of God, and another brother said, but I don't see it that way. We shouldn't be unreasonable and retaliate or resent. The person might see it in a different light, especially subjects that we need a lot more light on. I want to tell you something, brethren. Years ago, I knew all the truths of the Word of God. When I was a young believer, I was so stalwart, and I studied and searched the Scriptures, and I had it on my fingertips. And you disagreed with me, I could quote you verses and Scripture to back it up. But as I got older, I say, boy, how dumb you are. I've had to unlearn a lot of things. Isn't that true, Brother Nicholas? Brother Lacey, haven't you learned that? I've had to unlearn a lot of things. I discovered that I wasn't that smart after all. Here again, I'm not referring to the fundamentals now of the Word of God, all right? Maturity is what we have in mind. We have multiplied unto us then His grace, His power, and the knowledge of God that's a day-by-day experience, and He's giving unto us all things. And that's a mouthful. So now Peter said in verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to character. Spiritual maturity will develop good character before God and for God. And to good character we are to add knowledge. A real knowledge of the Word, but a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. To know Him. In fact, the key word of Peter's second epistle is the word know and knowledge. 12 times, I think, you'll come across the word know or knowledge. It's the knowledge of Him that produces spiritual maturity. If I would learn what the Lord Jesus said and then try to act and carry out what He said and what He taught, it will produce that maturity in my life. God-likeness, Christ-likeness, that's maturity. The Lord Jesus said, love your enemies. It's just the opposite to a lot of things that are taught even in the commandments in the Old Testament. In the teachings of the Lord Jesus, just goes against the grain of human nature. But when Christ came into our hearts, when He took up residence in our life, it isn't that God imparted to us glory, any glory of our own, or shared with us any glory of God. No, but by Christ being in our hearts, that's all the glory that we need. The outshining of the glorified Christ in the life is what God looks for day by day. If I produce any righteousness by the flesh, if I manufacture any righteousness by this flesh, you know what it produces? Pride. And I pat myself on the back, and then I sort of be able to say what I have accomplished, what I have done. Look at me. You know, as good as coming to meeting is, I go to meeting, and I tell you, I admire you. You folks, some of you, you don't miss a meeting, you're there. But spiritual maturity and spirituality doesn't really consist even in that. And don't lose it, mind you. Please don't lose that. You love the Word of God, and you want to be here to enjoy the Word of God, to hear the Word of God. God bless you. May your heart be encouraged. But I have to watch it that I do not, by the flesh, try to manufacture the righteousness that God is looking for. But if I could come to the place in life and say, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh or in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if I go back again to the Romans, it's a matter of yielding to the life of Christ. God looks at the beauty of Jesus in us. And he looks for obedience to what his Son taught us and the Word teaches us. It is not natural to love your enemy. But with Christ in us, he gives us the enabling power and the enabling grace. And it's extremely difficult. Dear Mama Corey, we used to call her when she came to Bermuda. In fact, long before Miss Corrie Ten Boom ever became popular, she used to come to Bermuda. And we would have her in our meetings and it wasn't long until she became famous. But she was a humble woman. And what she went through, as she told us about how her sister was killed in the concentration camp and different other atrocities and how they suffered just because they harbored a lot of the Jewish babies. They secured them. They were put in the camps because of it. And she said, one of the most difficult things, she said, yet what gave me the most joy was when I faced one of the concentration soldiers or the leaders of the camp. And God gave me grace enough in my heart to forgive him. Mama Corrie told us some stories that make you shudder, really, I tell you. She said, one day I was so downcast, and I was having a meal with a friend in Australia. They said, we've got a surprise for you. She said, I had no idea what the surprise was. But they brought in this young man, he was about 21. Said, do you know him? She looked at him and said, no, I can't say I do. They said, Mrs. Tanboom, this young man is one of the babies that you smuggled out of Holland and saved from the German hands, and he is a believer. She said, heaven opened to me that day, and the glory of God just filled my heart. I was so overwhelmed with joy and praise in my heart. And then, of course, she attributed to this, that her heart was changed from bitterness and to love for her enemies. And she said, and God knew exactly what I needed, when I needed it, and to just reveal some of the fruit of my labor, to see that young man gave me such joy that it's indescribable. God works that way, doesn't he? But let me tell you, Mrs. Ten Boom was a mature soul. God gave her grace, and God filled her heart with love and beauty. But what he did for her, he can do for us. You needn't think that look upon these dear ones as super saints. They just went through their wintry trial, and God gave grace for the moment, and they came out as real brands plucked from the burning, mightily used by God, because they believed by faith in the Word of God. They believe what Jesus taught, and they took it to heart. And so they came out victorious. You say, well, I don't know if I could be a Mama Corrie. Well, you just do not know. But we are what we are by the grace of God. We have the same power, the same grace, the same Savior, the same God. And so, just take what we know in the Word of God and apply it. I didn't say it would be easy, but he will give the power to be able to perform. He will give the faith. He will give the character. There will be a knowledge of him. There will be knowledge, temperance, or self-control. From self-control, there would be endurance. And from endurance, there would be a godlikeness, godliness. and God likeness there would be brotherly love. And it seemed like in verse 7, Peter couldn't go on anymore. He couldn't add anymore. He said, to brotherly love, what do you add to brotherly love? And what does he say? Does he run out of words? He says, and from brotherly love, add love. Love and love is still love. I don't care how you add. Isn't it amazing? And from brotherly love, I wonder if you, if like me, would say, love, as if it was stammering. Love is the key, is it not? If I can love my brethren, as I look at them with all of their faults and their failures, and who doesn't have them, aren't you glad that you are just you and not like the other and the other, you know what I mean, by comparing? You are who you are by the grace of God. That's who we are. And God loves us. We're unique members of the family. Therefore, we grow as a body. That's it. And the growth of the body is for the glory of God. And that's the chief end of man, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. That is spiritual maturity, beloved. Just as you are. So you were not born in circumstances like some people in the world. Or you haven't gone through what Mama Cory went through. But it takes a lot of grace to shine on a little island like this, where everybody knows everybody, and where you're constantly open to the scrutiny of everybody. Your life is analyzed. And you know what it is in a small community when it's so easy. And God help our little island. Look like we'll never be cured of that. Andrew hasn't cured of us of some of our problems, and I'm not going to spoil this meeting tonight by mentioning some of our problems. God is going to give us the victory and going to give us the help. But in a small community, you really need to be on your toes. In fact, if you don't watch it, you could be a nervous person. Just seek to please God. One of our major problems sometimes is we worry about pleasing man and we forget to please God. If we please God, we'll please man. I think we should be more occupied how I faith God. Do I really study the word says, thou shalt not? That's what I'm to be occupied with. The word says I am to have self-control. That means self-control over my tongue. I am to obey this. An unruly evil is set on the course of hell itself. Oh, beloved. That same tongue can be a silver trumpet or a ram's horn for the glory of God. Just speak the word. Let it be seasoned with grace. Let it bring glory to God day by day. Oh, may the Lord just encourage our hearts and seek to bring glory to Him day by day. And really just to grow in that grace through the word of God. And that's the key, is it not? Just a constant abiding, living in the scriptures and asking the Lord to help us and read mornings and or nights or whenever you read, you say, oh Lord, I need help in this area. That's maturity. Willing to grow, willing to abide, willing to obey. Lord, I need help in this area. Here, what you're saying here in this verse. Help me in this, Lord. I tell you, I was reading before meeting tonight, the revival that broke out on Hezekiah. You get on that chapter, Brother Don, we'd be here for another 30 minutes. And I'm not going to do that, believe me. I'm going to close the meeting right now. But I got such a thrill just going over it. And when Josiah, when I had a revival under Josiah, another revival I was reading. And you know how they got the revival? Close on that note. Can you believe it? They had lost the Bible in the church. I'm using a New Testament phrase now, phraseology, but applicable to that of the synagogue of the Old Testament. The sacred writings were lost. Where did they lose it? In the synagogue. Where did they find it? In the synagogue. Beloved, do you know it's a possibility to have the Bible copy after copy? Do you know that you could actually lose the Word of God right here in the meeting? How? By not obeying it. I hear so much of it We have meeting Monday night. We have meeting Tuesday night. We have meeting Thursday night. We have meeting sisters with the sisters Thursday afternoon. We've got meetings out there now with the young ones. We have meeting Friday night. We have meeting Saturday morning at 6:30. We have meeting 9:30 here. We have meeting 11 o'clock. We have meeting 7:30. And we even have prayer meetings before the gospel services. And you know something? With all of these meetings, you can lose the Word of God right here in Spanish Wells by not obeying it. Oh, may God help us then, not only to be what? Hearers of the Word, but be what? Doers of the Word. That is spiritual maturity. And I need it as much as you. Shall we pray? Father, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for your word. We can never have too much of it. We're asking, Lord, that you give us the power to put into practice the things that we have learned, especially about the Lord Jesus himself. We thank you for his word. It was said of him, never a man spake like this man. Lord, help us in our deportment. Help us then in our way, in our walk of life, that our conversation will be seasoned with grace and will seek to encourage the members of the household of faith. And Lord, just give us the power to be able to do what you want us to do. Help us to grow in the likeness of the Lord. And then you've exhorted us to love one another, because when we love one another, we're loving thee. Did ye not visit me when I was in prison? Did ye not give me to eat when I was hungry, to drink when I was thirsty? The question was asked, Father, when did we visit you in prison? Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of one of these, ye have done it unto me. Oh, God grant your word will prove a blessing in our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Good night. God bless you.